The end is coming. It's right around the corner. If you run and hide, it might not find you. Welcome to Night Vale. Good evening, listeners. To start things off this evening, I would like to read this bulletin from Sheriff Sam's secret police. Two newcomers have been spotted near the edge of town. They have been seen driving a vintage car, large, black, and ominous, a looming shape on the horizon that brings up the still desert dust in a swirl that catches the setting sun and drowns it with an orange hue. John Peters, you know, the farmer, welcomed the oncoming car with a raised finger and yelled, "Interloper!" However, as the car was far off in the distance, and only slowly getting closer, he was unable to see the drivers. No one knows what this looming motor vehicle's intentions are at this time. More on this story as we uncover its secrets. In other news, Night Vale's local water company has been taken to court over the continued use of carbon monoxide to punish late bill payers. "Look, we just think it's fair that if you don't pay your bills, we get to poison you," a water company representative said from within a flooded storm drain. "It's only fair that if you die, we do get all your stuff. Like that new Nintendo Switch Lite you've been talking about getting for ages. I mean, if you're dead, you're not gonna need it, right?" Initial court proceedings have been slow, as jury members have been complaining that they are without water, and several of them are dead. A further statement from the water company read, "Hey, I don't know how that happened. Probably somebody needed to pay their bills." Further questions were asked by the gathered press, however, the representative began to chug a large glass of water and then started to gargle really obnoxiously. Like, wow. It was loud. Listeners, an update on the mysterious car entering town. It is a dark black Bentley, its vintage windows hiding vintage faces, dark glass hiding dark intentions. It moves with the precision of a well-timed knife, and with an aura that disturbed the local angels, all named Erica, who all turned to look at the approaching car with a mixture of confusion, fear, anger, and awe. Perhaps they had never seen a vintage Bentley before, or perhaps they knew what its sinister contents are. Janice Rio, from down the street, said that she managed to catch a glimpse of the two occupants of the car before they continued to drive to the Moonlight All Night Diner. She noted that they appeared to be two men. One who walked like a snake trapped in a laundry bag, while the other skipped like sunshine riding on a scooter. One thing of interest that she noted was on the taller man, who wore thick, dark glasses, and that he had a tattoo of a snake just in front of his right ear. "Kids these days," Janice said, "they'll do anything to look hip and cool." The taller of the two, the snake laundry bag man, called to his companion as they walked to the diner, telling him to "come along, angel," crooned in a bored drawl. Janice didn't catch the rest of what was said. She wasn't sure if the term angel was either a literal term or a term of endearment, but she was happy for them either way. That's sweet. Oh, it also says here that she noted that she pointed and yelled "interloper" in the usual fashion as they entered the diner, only for the tall man to hiss in an overly demonic fashion and apparently unhinge his jaw slightly. Well, listeners, who are we to judge the habits of folks from out of town? We're a welcoming community, after all. Sheriff Sam has noted that it would be wise for all citizens to be on the alert for these newcomers and to be aware of any suspicious activity, including the liberal use of wheat and wheat byproducts, the unlawful use of blue, green, and taupe colors of magic, and talking too loudly about the latest series of Killing Eve. Yes, we all know it's online and we can all check it out at any time, but some of us have busy lives and we would not like the series opener spoiled for us. Thank you very much, John. And now, it's time for our Fun Fact Children's Science Corner. And today, we have a question from the audience. Isn't that wonderful, listeners? Today's question comes from Neil Patrick of Night Vale Junior High. And he asks, that's not quite how you spell my name, Neil. Better luck next time. We hear a lot about omens in class, but it's something that never really comes up in the curriculum. You mentioned a while ago you got your weird scout badge, which means you might be able to help us. Well, Neil, I just happen to have a partial list of government-mandated omens here for you. Let's see here. One small raven. Two large ravens. A single mournful raven. An empty laundromat. Your mother's bedroom, now pale and vacant. A distant voice you remember, but only in dreams. That one odd burnt penny you have. That ringing phone you can never reach in time. A discarded lotto ticket. A copy of Paul Blart Mall Cop. But it's actually a grainy VHS recording of dark shapes in the distance, calling your name and getting closer and closer. They are powerful, formless beings. They know you. They know all about you. They tell you secrets. Secrets of things you try to forget. Secrets of things others tried to forget telling you. There's a tunnel. The shapes lead you there into the growing darkness. You ask them questions and they only reply with faint whispers like gas escaping from a fractured methane tank. Remember. They hiss this over and over again until the tunnel is so dark now you feel the weight of it pressing into your very soul. You're nothing now, nothing but the darkness as you fade from all existence, from all being, from all self-identity and knowledge, as all of yourself is consumed by this void. You and the void are one, one being, one creation, one everlasting thing, spanning time, spanning space. You are space. You are the glow of the cosmos. You feel it inside you. Stars turn in your inner depths, pulses are your eyes, and nebulas are your lungs. You are beyond everything. You are everything, and you always were. And of course, there's walking under a ladder, but that one's a given. We all know about that. All of these mean different things, of course. Some omens are good, some are bad. The trick is knowing which ones are good. For instance, the empty laundromat might be good if you happen to be carrying the discarded lotto ticket. If not, it's bad. These are just some of the government-mandated omens that we see in our daily lives. I hope that helps, Neil. This concludes our Fun Fact Children's Science Corner. And now, a word from our sponsor. Today's sponsor is that feeling of looming dread. Sitting in the dentist chair, and they've just asked you if you've flossed? Oh, we got you covered. Did you forget to lock your door, and you're already on the bus to work? There's a feeling for that. Are you currently attempting to disarm a thermonuclear device with seconds to spare, and if you fail now, you'll be atomized along with billions of lives? You'd think we wouldn't be able to help you out, but you'd be wrong. It's a feeling for all occasions, whether you want it or not. It's already in your brain. It's there, and you can't ignore it. You can't take it out. It's getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Dread! For sweaty palms, ragged breathing, panic, terror, and the fear of the unknown, you need Dread. It's looming, it's coming, and there's no escape. We now return to our story of the newcomers, already in progress. After leaving the Moonlight All Night Diner, two people, one who is tall and walks like a snake in a laundry bag, turn to his friend, the one that looks like if Sunshine on a scooter was a person, and asked, "Should we ask for directions?" "Probably," the Sunshine Man replied. "What's the worst that could happen?" "They're very shouty," the Snake Man added. "But we can ask them over there." He pointed a spindly, elongated finger towards Sigrid Borg. "Oi, lady with the extra pinky," he said, pointing. "I'm looking for the library." But all Sigrid could do was look upon them both and weep. At press time, it's unknown if this was because she was insulted by the comment of her extra pinky, or some other supernatural element. Before she could say anything, however, the Sunshine Man hushed her with a soothing smile. "Oh dear, my dear, I'm so sorry about him. You have such a lovely town here, and my friend and I were just looking for the local library." As he spoke, Sigrid noticed that everything seemed wonderfully warm. She explained that the library was on the other side of the town, and that they wouldn't be able to get in because of the 24-hour armed guard and electrified fence. The Sunshine Man seemed confused at this, complaining there was no way to treat books. Sigrid tried to explain that the guards were there to keep in the vicious and deadly librarian that roamed the shelves, as well as the forbidden knowledge the books hold. However, neither of the men seemed to care all that much for her warnings. With a cheery wave, they got back in the ominous black car, and his snake friend drove them away. Sheriff Sam has issued high alert with this revelation, and we're making sure that no one gets in the library. "At least all the front doors will be guarded," he said. "We maintain the tightest level of security at the front of the building, and we're pretty sure no one will use the back door fire escape, which is propped open with a brick. Well, good luck to our brave secret police officers who will be guarding the library, with no doubt their very lives." More on this story as it develops. So, listeners, you might have noticed something slightly different about today's broadcast. There's a very simple reason for that. We are coming to you live from another part of the multiverse. We're not exactly sure why this has happened, but I've spoken to resident Nightvale multidimensional theorist Dr. Patrick Augsburg to find out why. When I spoke to him, Patrick simply pointed to several large and complex chalkboards proclaiming, "It's all there if you just look!" Several of the notes seem to be nothing more than scribbles on how the consistency of phone books have gotten smaller over the last few years. I did try to explain to him that that's mostly because we use the internet now, but he just kept going on and on about something to do with hyperdimensional theory and tiny wormholes that live in the government underground Pulsar research facility. In the end, he just gave me a large spool of magnetic tape and said that these were all his notes on the matter, and if I just listen to everything, it will all make sense. Well, listeners, shall we give it a spin? Well, I think that really clears things up. Wouldn't you say so, listeners? Breaking news, listeners. The totally locked down Night Vale Library has been broken into. No one is quite certain how, as to the large electrical fence has been bypassed, though it might have something to do with the fact that it was not electrified. We reached out to City Council for a comment on this matter. Yeah, City Council said as they hurriedly began to roll up the window of their Uber. You know what it's like? Electrical fences are so expensive to run all the time, and we just thought it would be easier if we bought a regular fence and just put up signs. No one would be dumb enough to actually try to climb it. How are we supposed to know that wood doesn't conduct electricity? They concluded as their cab began to hurtle away down the street. Even more breaking news, listeners. Now that the defensive fences have been broken down, the pack of feral librarians that have been clawing at the doors of the building are now free and have begun to roam the streets of Night Vale. As we hurtle into a bloody and painful future, not knowing what is to come next, the default feeling that is for so many of us, I must take you now to the weather. Well, listeners, the relative perception of normality has been restored. It turns out that our mysterious and possibly threatening villagers to our town were quite able to simply round up the librarians and return them to where they came from, which was nice. The one who is tall just seemed to pull from the ground with a snap of his fingers, and the librarians decided that terrorizing the town was too boring and they all really needed to go home. This strange act seemed to further alarm Night Vale's own resident angels, with sounds that could be offence or could be confusion. It's hard to understand what they're thinking. But in a letter posted through the crack between my ceiling tiles, they addressed the matter as such.
We believe that their sort isn't welcome in town. They have no respect for the hierarchy, and thought they could just storm in here and do what they like. They should go back to their bookshop where they belong before upper management hears about this. The letter was enclosed with several black feathers that gently vibrated and seemed to hum with a strange energy that doesn't seem to be of this dimension. Larry Leroy, out on the edge of town, called in to say that he did manage to overhear the two talk just outside the library, from within one of the city's many anti-librarian shelters, to say that it seemed that they had been looking for something that might be able to save the world. Probably a book, or more likely a lost library card. And well, listeners, as soon as our new visitors arrived, they just left, seemingly unable to check a book out of the library. Probably because the librarians were all too busy escaping. But now they depart, their slightly less ominous black car turning past the Arby's as it scatters the lights, causing to spiral and turn in confusion, up past City Hall, past the Desert Flower Bowling Alley and Arcade Fun Complex, and right past the abandoned lot on the edge of town. Engine humming and stereo singing as the two move on to places new. In their wake, a cloud of desert dust catches the air and turning in the clouds and illuminated by the soft, partial moon. I suppose this might be all a lesson in being able to learn something new from strangers, as well as being able to maybe put aside some sort of preformed prejudice in order to come to a common goal in being able to fight an oppressive force or forces hell-bent on following its own blind, foolish imperative. Or perhaps the dangers of a lost library card and the horrible impending fees that an overdue book can incur. But who knows? My shift is about to end soon, and I have a really big bowl of pasta salad at home with my name on it. So I think that means I can... Oh, listeners, something has just come in via the hidden pneumatic package delivery tube system under my desk. Let's see here. It's a box with something inside. Inside the box, it's a book called The Nice and Accurate Prophecies of Agnes Nutter. That probably has nothing to do with anything. Stay tuned next for the actual canon episode playing. And as always, good night, Night Vale. Good night. Welcome to Night Vale is a production by Commonplace Books and is normally written by Joseph Fink and Jeffrey Craner. This episode wasn't. Good Omens was written by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. The voice of Night Vale was Moira Dakin. This episode's weather was The Return by Moira Dakin. You can hear more at bandlab.com/Mecha Moira. That's MECHAMOIRA. Special thanks to Sam, who put up with me throughout the entire episode's production. Comments, questions, hit us up below. Today's proverb. Please, it's just a fan show. It's just a fan show. Don't sue us. It's just a fan show. I tell you, I swear, please. It's just a fan show. We really didn't mean anything by it. Please don't sue us. Please, 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 please,